It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there's a growing trend of in-school mental health services in Wisconsin. We'll talk with an organizer of one of the first such programs in the state.
First, Wisconsin is no stranger to the national political spotlight, and the floodlights are on today with two political stars campaigning for Governor Scott Walker and Democratic challenger Mary Burke on the same day.
First Lady Michelle Obama was in Milwaukee this afternoon with Mary Burke, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was in Hudson this morning with Scott Walker.
This kind of political star power speaks to the intensity of the race. With little over a month left before elections, the latest Marquette University poll shows each with 46% of the vote and 5% undecided. Poll director Charles Franklin called the race a statistical dead heat, and the LA Times has billed Wisconsin's gubernatorial race as the tightest in the country.
Here with us to talk about the Walker and Burke campaigns and the significance of today's national attention, we have Marcy Stetch. She's National Press Secretary for Emily's List. And Brian Nemoir, a Wisconsin-based political consultant and president of Full Impact Communications. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. We have a great show. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks. And Marcy, thanks to you for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, Marcy, let's start with you. What impact does this kind of outside attention, a first lady, a renowned governor from another state, what does this do to a state race like ours in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it shows exactly how important and how exciting this race is right now. It really is a dead heat in the polls right now. And I think having this outside attention just really shows just how important this race is to Democrats overall. But I think at the heart of it all is that, you know, we all recognize both in the state of Wisconsin and outside of the Wisconsin that that families deserve better than what Scott Walker has put forward. So it really gives us an opportunity as Democrats to make sure that voters in the state know the stakes and know that there is a clear choice in this election, and Mary Burke has a plan to move forward. And make sure that women, families, everyone across the state has an opportunity to be part of an economy that works for all.
And Brian, Marcy's saying Democrats around the country have their eyes on this one. Same true for Republicans around the nation?
Well, I think that is true. And I'm always amused when people from outside of the state seem to know what's best for Wisconsin. This is a tight race. I don't think it surprises anyone. And in the coming weeks, both candidates are going to try to do things to distinguish themselves. And sort of try to garner some traction. We've seen the last couple of weeks Mary Burke do things like plagiarize jobs plans to try to garner attraction. We see Scott Walker forging ahead, talking about his record and bringing in other successful governors. If you look across the country, it's really governors who have set the tone for progress, put forth the greatest innovations, and done things that Washington, D.C. has often begged, borrowed, and stolen from. And Wisconsin's a great example of that, whether it be W-2, school choice. We are the birthplace of great innovation. It doesn't surprise me we've got other great governors joining Scott Walker.
And Brian, do you think having outside figures like this, whether it's a Chris Christie or a Michelle Obama, do Wisconsin voters pay attention? Is that going to influence anybody to go out and vote?
Well, I don't know if they do or don't pay attention. I'm not one to say that someone doesn't have a voice in an election. But I think at the end of the day, people are going to take a look at these two candidates, and the contrast couldn't be greater. You've got a guy who has put forth a plan, pushed Wisconsin in the right direction, reversed the trends of Mary Burke and Jim Doyle, our past governor, and the jobs we lost and the bad budgets that they set forth. And it's put forth a plan. I think when people look at the end of the day and see what the content is, these two candidates just don't compare.
And Marcy, same question for you. Do those outside figures move the needle here?
Well, I think it absolutely reminds voters, again, what's at stake in this election. And I'm sorry, I just can't agree. Governor Walker has brought this state to dead last in the Midwest when it comes to job creation. He has had 4 years to put forward to try and meet his promises of 250,000 jobs created, and he has fallen far short of that. There is a $1.8 billion shortfall in the Wisconsin governor in the Wisconsin state budget. And it's all Scott Walker's fault. He's asking for a promotion, but really he should be fired. And I think that at the end of the day, we have an opportunity in front of us to make sure that voters know that there is a different direction that this state can go. they can move themselves from being dead last in the Midwest and John Creation with the leadership of Mary Burke. And furthermore, I think it's interesting, you know, bringing in Governor Christie for this. You know, Chris Christie and Scott Walker have quite a bit in common. And I think you kind of have to look at them. And, you know, they're both kind of got their eye on 2016, thinking maybe that'll be something that they are both interested in. But they've been really advancing these extreme agendas in both of their states, in Wisconsin and New Jersey, rather than focusing on boosting the economy and creating jobs. And we can see that today, again, with Wisconsin being last in the Midwest in job creation, but New Jersey being 48th in the entire country in job creation. So Chris Christie does not have a story to tell when it comes to stimulating the economy, and I certainly think that's a story that he'd want to keep out of the state of Wisconsin with Scott Walker's record.
And Brian, let's bring you in on this last in jobs issue. We've seen different rankings and different reports, with the quarterly reports showing Wisconsin low in the Midwest anyway. How do you tackle the jobs issue?
Well, there's a bunch of ways you can slice those numbers. I think it's plain to see that Wisconsin has grown jobs. The two areas in Wisconsin where job growth has fallen a little bit behind is Milwaukee and Madison. And those are both areas that are run by Democrats and have long time been Democrat strongholds. While it's interesting to point to Chris Christie, I think it's more notable to point to why Mary Burke didn't bother to see our president. He's in town a few short weeks ago on Labor Day. You know, it's perhaps the one guy who has lower approval ratings than Mary Burke does right now. And instead they fly in his wife, the first lady, to help out their gubernatorial candidate.
Is this meaningful that Mary Burke didn't appear on stage with President Obama, Marcy?
Look,
meant to throw that one to Marcy, Brian.
Yeah, well, I think that it was pretty clear that was an official White House visit, and Mary Burke was very clear about, you know, her obligations for the day. But the president, I believe, has committed to coming to Wisconsin to make sure that voters know the stakes in this election. I don't think that at the end of the day, this isn't about surrogates. It comes down to what's happening in the state of Wisconsin. And I guess, you know, we keep going back to the bottom line here, and that is that Scott Walker has had 4 years of leadership in that state that has just completely failed, and he's missed the mark on so many levels. So the more that voters hear that, from whether that be the president, whether it be first from Cecile Richards, who's the president of Planned Parenthood, who's coming in next week to speak to Wisconsin voters, you know, we need to make sure that voters get to the polls in November, and that is the best opportunity to bring these outside voices and remind people what's exactly at stake as we get to the final days here in this election.
I want to throw negative news at each of you about the candidate you support. Marcy, first of all, and Brian mentioned this earlier, the campaign material, the jobs plan, non-original wording. Some have said plagiarism, some have used kinder words. Is this a problem for Mary Burke?
Well, let's take a step back and look at exactly where these attacks are coming from. Again, I don't need to remind you again where the state is in job creation, but these attacks were coming from Scott Walker and his Republican allies, you know, 36 days before the election. It's an attempt to distract from the real issues that are at stake right now. And I think Mary Burke has a very strong vision for where she needs to take the state. She knows that things like a higher minimum wage, investing in students, investing in low-wage jobs and good-paying jobs across the state will be the right way forward for the state. So I think at the end of the day, these are just an attempt that Scott Walker is going to try and distract from the voters. But she's got the right ideas in mind. She's got a vision to take the state forward, and nothing's going to stop her until moving forward.
And Brian, I want to throw the John Doe 2 investigation. Just recently, a circuit court of appeals, federal court of appeals, lifted a stay on that back in the state courts. Is that going to be a liability for Governor Walker in this race?
I prefer to talk about Mary Burke's plagiarism, but having asked that question, I will say this. The John Doe has been around, is not going away. I think fair-minded people recognize that it's politically motivated, has no end because, quite frankly, the folks that are pushing it have no desire for it to end, and I doubt it'll be an issue in this campaign. If you are running for governor in Wisconsin, you're going to stake your claim on the fact that you can grow jobs. You better have done it in the past, and Mary Burke hasn't done that as Commerce Secretary, and you better make sure that your jobs plan is truly your own work and is it embodies the integrity that you hope to bring to the office. And quite frankly, Mary Burke has failed on both accounts.
We're talking with Mary Stetch. She's National Press Secretary of Emily's List. And Brian Niemar. He's Wisconsin-based political consultant and president of Full Impact Communications. Both First Lady Michelle Obama and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie were in Wisconsin today campaigning for Mary Burke and Scott Walker, respectively.
We're back with Marcy Stetch, National Press Secretary of Emily's List, and Brian Niemar, Wisconsin-based political consultant and president of Full Impact Communications. Both First Lady Michelle Obama and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie were in Wisconsin today campaigning for Mary Burke and Scott Walker, respectively.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Does this national political star power sway anyone here in Wisconsin? Do you think national politics in general have an impact on who wins the race for governor? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Paul on the line in Green Bay. Paul, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to make one comment. We're talking about something that is extremely complicated. People have put their lives into figuring out how the economy works, and I don't think that one person's failure to not be able to create jobs should be all put on one person's shoulder. The economy is such a diverse, ever-changing, dynamic thing that I don't think anybody should be saying that their plan is going to work.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. So whether their name's Jim Doyle, Scott Walker, Mary Burke, you name it, there's a national economy, an international economy. Brian, we'll start with you. Do governors really have that much control over the jobs and the economy in their state?
Well, I think what governors do is create the right environment. And if you take a look at the record of Scott Walker's predecessor, Jim Doyle, versus our current governor has gone out of his way to make sure we've got a strong working environment in Wisconsin where businesses can thrive and flourish, whether it be cutting regulation, whether it be reducing taxes, whether it be providing workforce training dollars. Scott Walker has clearly stated that Wisconsin's open for business. It's not an overnight solution. It's going to take some time. But as you talk to CEOs across the state and you measure confidence level, people are confident this state is heading in the right direction and believe that turning back the clock isn't the right way for us to go.
Marcy?
Well, yeah, I absolutely believe that that governors do have the power to make sure that there's a competitive and business-friendly environment. But what Scott Walker has done, he has moved the state backwards. You look at all the other states in the Midwest. I mean, I'm from Minnesota. I grew up there, and neighbors just to the west of Wisconsin, they have a completely different story to tell. So he has made some decisions as governor that have made the state less competitive when it comes to job creation. I point you to rejecting the Medicaid expansion. That was a purely political decision by Scott Walker that has made women, families in the state of Wisconsin, made them have to pay for it out of their own pocket. Again, that $1.8 billion budget shortfall that Wisconsin's seeing right now is not because of, anything that Scott Walker inherited. It's because he's put his own extreme policies and his own ideology above what's best for the families in Wisconsin.
Back to our callers now with Catherine and Lac du Flambeau. Catherine, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Catherine?
Actually, I thought of a couple things after I mentioned the issue that nobody is mentioning. Scott Walker and his dealings with the Koch brothers and GTAC, the selling out of Wisconsin, but also through the DNR with his head there, the selling out of the lands, the wetlands, and then the hunting issues where all this hunting's being opened up that isn't natural.
All right, Catherine, thanks for the call. Marcy, we'll start with you this time. I'm guessing you might not argue with her. She's worried about the the donations to Scott Walker and particular business and environmental issues.
That's right. Well, I think Scott Walker has a lot of buddies, in the Karl Rove and the Koch brothers and several other conservative right-wing leaders in this country who basically want to have them in their own pockets so that they can advance their own agendas. So I think that that's definitely true. And I think when we look at some of the other policies that Scott Walker has prioritized, we see his work that he's done to repeal the state's only equal pay law for women in the state. Now, Wisconsin is one of only 5 states in the entire country to not have equal pay protections for women. The work he did to advance mandatory ultrasounds in the dead of night, now making that part of a women's health plan in the state of Wisconsin, which is completely backward. He's against minimum wage, which, again, impacts women in the state of Wisconsin in an unfair balance. So I think that Scott Walker has a laundry list of entire policies that are completely wrong for women, and it spans beyond just the work he's done on the economy, but I do think it does span and impact women in particular in the state of Wisconsin.
And Brian, your response to the caller and to Marcy.
I'm not sure if I sensed the question in that caller. I just sensed there was more of a bunch of opinions. I think Scott Walker is stating his claim on putting Wisconsin in a better place to grow jobs. That's going to involve some proactive measures and some strong principles. I don't think anyone could argue that our governor isn't independent and doesn't put forth a plan and doesn't charge forward based on that plan. And that's what he's going to be running on, and I think that's what's going to get him elected in November.
I want to bring up Act 10. It's been a few years now. It was a huge thing in Wisconsin politics, brought us up in large part to a recall election a couple years ago. Governor Christie mentioned it today. Marcy, starting with you, does Act 10 still matter? The union laws still matter here in this election?
Well, I think making sure that you've got someone in that governor's office who's looking out for all workers is important. I think Mary Burke is the right person to make sure that folks across the state, union members, everyone has their voice at the table. And Scott Walker has been completely opposite of that. So I do think it is a factor, but I think right now everyone wants to talk about moving forward. And Scott Walker is asking for his promotion, but he just really needs to understand that he's had his time and it's time for someone new who has the right vision.
And Brian, is Act 10 a pro for Governor Walker in this campaign?
Well, I'll have to say that Marcy and I finally agree on something. I do think that Act 10 does matter. It does matter to the 30 or 25% of hardcore Democrats out there that still wrap themselves in union protections. The rest of the state is looking at the savings that Act 10 has produced and has looked at the rules that we put in place that most folks in the normal workplace have to deal with and say, yeah, so what? You got to play by the same rules that all employees and employers do, number one. And number two, it saved us billions of dollars of tax money. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a win. So if you look at Act 10 merely as the word Act 10, yeah, it certainly will create some animosity amongst the right people. But if you look at Act 10 and what it delivered, it's a win across the board.
Running low on time now, I want to ask each of you a similar question. Neck and neck, as we said at the outset, a very close race. Brian, what does Governor Walker need to do over the next month to win?
Well, I think the governor needs to keep reminding people of what he's done to help turn this state around. And it's not just Act 10. It's the job situation we are. Unemployment is lower than it was 4 years ago, number one. Our budget for the state is in better shape than it was 4 years ago, number two. And number three, we're growing jobs in the state. And I think if he talks about those things in the coming weeks, while it probably won't be a walkaway huge win, it will be a win, which is where I expected things to be.
And Marcy, same question. Mary Burke, what does she need to do between now and Election Day?
Mary Burke's got to keep doing what she's doing. She's doing a fantastic job traveling around the state. She's put over 50,000 miles on her Ford Escape traveling around the state to talk about what really matters to Wisconsin families right now. And I think she's got the right message, the right experience to move the state forward. And I think that what we can see in the polling and what we can hear on the ground and see at these rallies is just voters could not be more excited about a new voice, someone with the right priorities in office, and she's just got to keep telling that story.
It's going to be a lively conversation for the next month. Marcy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks to you as well.
Rob, great show. Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Marcy Stetch. She's National Press Secretary of Emily's List, and Brian Niemoyer. He's a Wisconsin-based political consultant. He's also president of Full Impact Communications. We had both First Lady Michelle Obama and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in Wisconsin campaigning for the respective candidates. And by the way, lively conversation. You could still keep it going over at the Central Time Facebook page. Share your thoughts over there as always. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR to let us know your thoughts a little more than a month out from Election Day.